Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Welcome. Good evening. Through all the various traditions, there's always hints at the underlying functioning of just what is, the underlying energy that holds everything together. Everything being not what you think. Everything being just this very moment, complete. Nothing to add, nothing to take away. But we're always attempting to add something and take something away. Therefore, we have birth and death. What's birthlessness? That's the Bodhidharma. That's the one mind. That's Buddha nature, birthlessness. So in our practice, when we awaken, we realize there's nothing to awaken to. Birthlessness. Sounds, sights, smells, emotions, they're all birthless. Another way of saying emptiness. So who is it that's sitting here? Who is it that's talking? I think it's Jojo's dog. I don't have much else to say tonight, sorry. I can't be very inspiring because there's nothing to say. You should just experience your life just as it is. I don't want to lead you astray with my words. But if you have something that you want to say or ask, I'll do my best to participate in that conversation. So bring it on, whatever you might have that you need to say or think about or talk about.
So when you said Jojo's dog, is that the same Jojo thought he was the loner, but he was another man? Bought some weed, went to Tucson, Arizona, whatever the line is. So does Jojo's dog have Buddha nature? Anyway, so today, I had a very intense day. I woke up at 3:30. So tonight when you started talking about birthlessness, etc. So I don't know, what occurred to me was those things are all the more significant and impactful when I've experienced the opposite extreme as I did today. I mean, I've been going since 3:30 in the morning and you know, have accomplished quite a lot. But I guess I'm complimenting myself how well I've handled the stress today. I attribute quite a bit of that to you and to this practice. I don't think without it, I would be as calm as I am and would have accomplished as much as I did and could feel you know, as serene as I do right now. I feel like I worked the full day, and I have that good tired feeling, like, and that satisfaction that, wow, I was able to be pretty efficient today, all things considered.
That's, you know, that's being present to what's happening right now. So good for you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's nice when your practice shows up in your life in such a way that you go, ah, now I see this clearly in this moment. I don't, you know, have to burden myself. I just have to pay attention. Take care of it. I don't have to be a burden or be burdened by it. And then you have the energy, you know, just to get it done. I've been finding a very similar experience lately. Just having the energy that I need to do whatever it is I need to do. You know, that's great. That's wonderful. I met somebody on a walk yesterday who son committed suicide and who's been getting treatment for cancer off and on for a number of years. She's a neighbor, and I knew about it, but I didn't know much about what had happened. I knew that her son had a drug problem and was in rehab and was had depression issues, and things were going on like that. So there was mental illness, there was problems in the family. We had a nice talk on the side of the road about death and dying and losing. The main part of it for me was, how do I put this? It's like, you know, when people talk about codependency, you're very fortunate to have a practice that opens you up to what is motivating you to do the things that you do. When I talked to her, I saw this pattern in their lives. Somehow, intuitively, I got this hit that her son blamed himself for her having cancer. But this struggle between her and her son dealing with this and not being able to come to terms, you know, like she's feeling like his illness stresses her out naturally. So she can't practice healing herself. You see this dynamic that's going on there? It's I was so shocked to momentarily be in their lives like that and see that. You know, and my heart just opened up, and you know, I felt very compassionate for their suffering because of their ignorance. And I've had that experience myself in my life. Codependency, being stuck, not knowing the answer to why things are the way they are, all of that. We're so fortunate that we have this, Ross, like you just brought up. You know, being able to be clear about what needs to happen next and not, you know, indulging in creating more pain. This convoluted system was in place, karmically, right? There was, and from where they're sitting, they don't see any way out. I really felt for her. I don't know, I said some things that just kind of came out that were from a compassionate place, and I don't know if it made any difference for her or not, but it was a good meeting of two strangers that had a brief glimpse into each other's lives. And, you know, the thing that has always kind of puzzled me is walking through this world, recognizing Buddha nature, and not succumbing to the darkness, and having it affect you in such a way that you can't function, and do the opposite, the awakened view of things, instead of succumbing to the turmoil of a situation. In all our wars, our world wars, and all the wars that go all over the world all the time, there's always beings that rise to the occasion one way or another and awaken to what's really happening karmically, and can shift to where they go to this next level of their experience as a being. And there are those that seem to just tumble and fall into really dark spaces and places. So my heart really goes out to those people who are suffering so greatly in their own minds. Aside from the cancer, you know, aside from the illnesses, there's the created mess from the attachments to a way of viewing who you are and what you're doing. But this whole thing about we make our own bed, it's true, we do. And some people take it to their grave and beyond. The stories I really love are these bodhisattvas who go to brothels and hang out with thieves and criminals and murderers. And, you know, do their part. They don't succumb to codependency. Yet they're wide open and see what is exactly happening and what may need to be said, done, or not. You know, the presence of light in the darkness. Because of Buddha nature, because it's already there, it's not the darkness. That's the delusion. So, you know, the shining the light enables the light from within that other being to also reflect and clear something up in their lives, or their, if they're hungry ghosts, or, you know, in some other realm. Doesn't matter. There's something about the purity of being at the very essence of what we are that you have to rely on. It's who you are. It's what we are. And the rest of it, the drama, it's very sad. When a being is really clear, when a bodhisattva is walking down the street, he or she is unseen. There's nothing there. No karmic stuff oozing out. You don't even notice, except that there, you feel like there's this perfume in the air, and everything seems really bright and light. And you go, wow, what was that? Why am I feeling like that all of a sudden? I watched a video the other night of a group of Sufis doing zikr. La 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 la. And it's a chant that goes on and on and on and on, and they go into a trance. And it's basically God is great, God is great, God is great. And it's not dissimilar from other kinds of chants in Buddhist traditions, you know, specifically to create a certain state. But all of it is just, you know, it's just Joshua's dog. So this nirvana, this peace, this Buddha nature, it's no big deal. But as long as the clouds are covering it up, it's kind of a big deal. Okay. So we carry on. And thank you for being here with me and sitting with me tonight. Wonderful energy to be with you always. And I talked longer and more than I wanted to, but I always do. So maybe something good will come out of it. Anything else?
I would say that something pretty good came out of it already, Will.
Yeah.
So we'll see you on Sunday, hopefully, and Saturday if you can make it. That'd be nice. See you then. Good night.